Hey, everybody. You made it. Did it increase your prayer life on the way here? That's the goal, right? Oh, man, I hear it's gotten worse. I got here early this morning and understand the roads have gotten worse. So thanks for coming out today, and hopefully God blesses you in some way by something that you hear, something that you experience, the words that we sing and praise, and the prayers that we meditate on. We are in this teaching series on forgiveness, and today we're really going to be looking at how do we receive forgiveness, or as culture tends to call it, how do we forgive ourselves? And to do that, we want to open up John chapter 10, and we'll read a passage of Scripture together. Let's do that with some chutzpah. Here we go. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I will never forget the day I had made a commitment some 2 years before to become a Christian again, to follow Christ. It happened at a Good Friday service, and you know, the pastor said, pray and receive Christ as your Savior, and your life is going to change in ways that you could never possibly imagine. And so I did, and I knew that I needed him. I had been through a pretty rough stretch from about, junior or senior year of high school until, we'll call it sophomore or junior year of college. And this confession of faith was sort of like the culmination of the beginning of life change for me. And so in the 2 years that followed, I read the Scriptures, read the Bible from cover to cover. I'd never done that before. You know, I was praying every day. Mandy and I were attending church pretty regularly. In a Sunday school class, I had someone who was taking the time and the care to mentor me and keep me accountable, except I had this problem. And the problem was this. I had this thought that ran through my head, am I really forgivable? How do I make up for all those things I've done? Am I okay? Does God, you know, really accept me? Am I really, you know, one of the crew? I mean, all of these thoughts, feelings just continued to stir in my head. And I remember sitting in that coffee shop with my friend and my mentor, whose name is Todd, and he began to share out of the depths of his life story some of the things that had happened, you know, the things that he had done and the questions that he had. Am I really forgivable? Am I really okay? And I began to think, oh my goodness, I'm not alone in this. I thought I was the only one. And he said, you know, Brian, it's not so much based upon how good we are or, you know, whether or not we deserve forgiveness, it's really based upon God's power and ability and desire to forgive. And when that happened, when he spoke those words, it was like something broke. And I started to laugh pretty much uncontrollably. And tears just began to stream down my face. And for the first time in a long time in my life, I began to be free of that baggage and those burdens. And I felt ready to run again. You know, Paul says that the Christian life is much like a race. And I think so much, and we said this last week, so much of what weighs us down is our need not only to give forgiveness, but our need to receive forgiveness. And as somebody pointed out in the first service to me, forgiveness isn't just about God's forgiving us, but God also saying it's okay to forgive yourself. Receive it. And we carry this luggage, we carry this baggage so often in our lives because that need for forgiveness, that need to receive it, that need to be free of the things in our past, man, that weighs us down. And so as we talk about forgiveness, last week we learned that forgiveness can be like a transaction sometimes. Sometimes forgiveness and the need for forgiveness, it's transactional. I say something that hurts you, I do some minor act that hurts you, and need that forgiveness. And so very much like a heart stent, God, our great heart surgeon, comes in, uses a stent, opens up the artery, the blood flow begins to work again, relationship gets restored. This kind of forgiveness is transactional. It's usually for more minor, less serious type of offenses. But sometimes we need more than a heart stent. Sometimes, quite frankly, we need open heart surgery. And maybe after a series of things that have happened in your life, maybe one serious traumatic event has happened in your life, and it's done such deep damage that it requires God to come in and begin to graft in some new arteries so you can run the race again. Most importantly, we said, whether forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness you need is transactional and short and stent-related, or it's deeper and open heart-related, we need a great heart surgeon to do the work, and that heart surgeon is Jesus. Now, here's the question this morning. How well do you know your surgeon? How well do you know your surgeon? Could you imagine allowing somebody to cut on you and you've never even met them? Would you do that? Doubt it. I mean, maybe if you're in a trauma and you didn't have a choice. But outside of that, would you? No way. I remember this week, actually, Mandy and I will celebrate what we call a Celebration of Life Day for the ninth time. In January of 2007, she was involved in a serious automobile wreck, life-threatening, in fact. And once they sort of got us through the triage part of the experience, she was going to need surgery, and the surgeon that she had was an excellent technician, but quite frankly, he had a lousy bedside manner, which is usually a good thing. You want your surgeon to be the kind of guy who likes to cut and not talk to people. But for us, we wanted to meet the guy, and she had a lot of questions. And I, in my typical, very direct way, said, well, look, dude, there ain't going to be a surgery till the doctor gets his biscuits, or I might have used a different word, up here and talks to her and answer the questions that she has. And sure enough, he kind of came dragging in, and Mandy asked a whole bunch of questions. And he said, look, I do this every day. I do this every day. What's your job? And so Mandy began to tell him. He goes, yeah, I do this every day. And let me help you. And we're going to put you back together, and you're going to be okay. And it was like it broke. And Mandy and I felt better. The surgery went great. She's here today. Yeah, that's a good thing. But here's the deal. It's not enough to just know the surgeon's name or where the surgeon went to school or what the surgeon's specialty is. You want to know the surgeon. And it's the same with God. God didn't say, hey, just know about me, just know my name, just know some facts and figures, just be able to quote me a few verses of Scripture. He asked, do you know me? Jesus didn't just say, you know something about me. In fact, he takes it to the next level. He says, follow me. I want you to know what I know. I want you to do what I do. I want you to know my voice. How well do you know your great heart surgeon, Jesus? Do you share your good days with him? God, today was a great day. Thank you. Or do you share your bad days? God, today was really not good. And I hurt here, and this person did this, and boy, I need some help. Do you confess your failures to him? Do you share your struggles with him? You walk with other people and do the same. Well, Brian, I mean, this is silly because, you know, Jesus knows everything that we do anyway, right? I mean, it's not like we can go, whoo, hid from you. I mean, it's not like, you know, we show up and go, Jesus, I'm having this problem. He goes, I can't believe this. Where did this come from? I mean, Jesus knows everything. So do we really have to say anything to him? Yes. Because your act of confessing it, your act of sharing it creates relationship. And when you begin to confess it, when you begin to share it with your great heart surgeon, when you begin to share with him not only your good days, but your bad days, and not only your greatest successes, but your greatest failures, Jesus becomes the source of our life. More that you know him, the more you begin to share with him, the more you begin to hear his voice, the more you begin to hear his voice, the more you begin to heal. The more you begin to heal, the more you begin to receive the forgiveness that he longs to grant you. The more you begin to receive that forgiveness, the more you begin to believe that it's true. How well do you know your surgeon? So today's focus, how are we going to receive forgiveness? Or as culture has to say, how will we forgive ourselves? Now our scripture today from John chapter 10 unfolds at a very important point in the Christian or Jewish calendar, I guess we should say. And it's called the Feast of Dedication. Anybody ever heard of this before, Feast of Dedication? I guarantee you've heard of what we call the Feast of Dedication now. It's called Hanukkah. Right? And Hanukkah is bigger than, you know, menorahs or these lampstands that you light the candles. It's bigger than dreidels and toys and this kind of stuff. One of the key moments of Hanukkah or the Feast of Dedication around the time of Jesus was a reading of Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, last week we read Ezekiel chapter 36 because it's only two chapters removed. They're very much tied together. And that's part of the reason we read it. But in Ezekiel 34, what the people remembered at the celebration of Hanukkah was that they had a group of priests, or as they were known, shepherds, who led the people of God astray. In fact, these shepherds led the people so far away from God spiritually that they ended up very far away from them physically as well. They lost their own homeland. They were exiled to Babylon. And we said last week that the priests or the shepherds were encouraging people to follow false gods. Now, our culture today, we go, whatever, right? There's a smorgasbord of religion. You can kind of pick whatever you want. In that culture today, in that culture back then, it also meant you didn't just believe something that another religion said. You also got invested in the practices. And the practices could be anything all the way on up to child sacrifice. So realize this is a pretty big deal. Feast of Dedication, Feast of Hanukkah, they're recalling the failings of the temple priests and realize that Jesus is having a dialogue with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are the ones who make up the laws, who keep the people on track with God. I think very much implied in the conversation is this. Pharisees, are you the one who are leading the people away from God? I mean, today we go, oh, Jesus is so cryptic. I mean, what does he possibly mean? Back then, it was like, I mean, they would have known Jesus was on the attack. And so he says this. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. And he ends the passage with, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Or some translations say have it abundantly. Thieves don't go through the gate. They don't operate in the light. They're tricky. They're not true. They're not real. They're not vetted. They're not authentic. Take your pick. Thieves work in the shadows. Shepherds say, I will join you in the stink of the sheep pen. Thieves say, I got a microwave fix for that problem you've got. Let's read a book, 150 pages, you'll be fine by the end. And shepherds say, you are in, brother or sister, for a long haul. Follow me. Jesus says this sheep, that the thief steals, kills, and destroys. How? Because the thief says, you can't be forgiven. You're unlovable. That thing you did 20 years ago, I remember that. What if other people knew? And the shepherd says, I've come that you may have life, and life abundantly. Receive the forgiveness that I have to offer. Shepherds and thieves, Jesus and the Pharisees. If you don't believe me, you can look back one chapter earlier in John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is the story of Jesus healing a blind man. And in John chapter 9, Jesus, you have to remember, in Jesus' culture, if you had a severe physical illness like blindness, people believed that you or someone in your family had sinned so badly that that was the reason for the state of your physical condition. So when Jesus and his disciples are walking along and they see a man who was born blind from birth, they ask, "Who sinned?" He said, "Nobody sinned," which I'm sure cleared up everything for them. And so Jesus takes mud, he smears it on the man's eyes, the man is healed, and the Pharisees immediately call the man in to investigate. Because we can't have that. We can't have people getting healed. I mean, that's no good. And more importantly, if the man were healed, it would have meant that his sins were forgiven. Whether he committed sin or not was a completely different issue, but it would have meant, without a doubt, 100% his sins were forgiven, that God had released him from it. So they call him in to investigate, and they say, you know, how could this happen? And he says, "I don't know, you know, this is Jesus. He came up and he put the mud on my eyes and I'm here." Well, they can't accept that, so they invite the man's parents in. And they say, "Is this your son?" "Yep, it's our son." "Well, how did this happen?" And the parents, who get Parent of the Year award, say, "We don't know. Just ask him. Surely we're not going to defend him. I mean, gosh, then you might kick us out according to all the laws and the rules you have. So you just deal with our son." Way to go. I'm sure that probably cost the guy a little bit of couch time later on. So they bring the man back again. And at the end of the story, they say this to him. They say, "You were born in utter sin and you would teach us," and they cast him out. Now realize, when it says they cast him out, they didn't just like, "Oh, get out of our room" or "get out of our house." They cast him out of the community. "You are unwelcome, you are unclean, you are unworthy, we don't want anything to do with you, and we might as well right now knit you a sweater that has a big scarlet letter on it, because you are out." Were they shepherds or thieves? Now, here's the question I want you to ask yourself today as it relates to us. What has your shepherd been speaking to you lately? What has your shepherd been saying to you? Has your shepherd been speaking life and life abundantly, or stuff that steals, kills, and destroys? Because which shepherd you choose to listen to will very much bear impact on your life. You listen to a shepherd that only wants to steal and kill and destroy, I can guarantee the state of your heart is in need of some serious open heart surgery. You listen to the voice of a shepherd who has come to give you life and life abundantly, I guarantee you'll still have problems. But the state or condition of your heart and your soul will be very much different. And listen, there are two voices very much competing for your life: the thief and the shepherd. Let me ask you this morning, as a way of audience poll, how many of you, how many of us are struggling with some past thing that continues to haunt us, and you wonder, am I ever going to be free of this? Great, so I'm not alone. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, look, we're all in the same boat together. I mean, so often we believe this lie that, like, I'm the only one who has problems, or I'm the only one who has this deep thing in my past, or I'm the only one who can't seem to believe God enough to get rid of it. And Christians are the worst. Because we tie it all to belief. So if I ever think that I'm unforgiven, if I ever feel any kinds of feelings of unworthiness, that must mean that I don't believe God. No, it doesn't. That's a lie of thieves. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, at some point in our lives, we've all felt unworthy. We've all struggled with something that we did, and we can't seem to shake free of it. The lie is thinking it will never end. The lie is thinking that we can't be forgiven. The lie is thinking we can't be free. The lie is thinking we aren't forgivable. Does your shepherd tell you that you are loved and forgiven, or unlovable and unforgivable? Because the most dangerous of thieves, brothers and sisters, is the one who whispers in your ears that you're unforgivable. Nope, not you. They're going to find out. You're not okay. You're the only one who's ever done something this bad. You cannot be forgiven. You know what you need to do? You need to try harder and work harder. And maybe someday, if you try hard and work hard enough, then you'll feel forgiven. That's a great idea. Let's make another New Year's resolution. So you make the resolution, right? Like the little engine that could. You pull it up the hill and pull it up the hill and pull it up the hill. And by what? Like January 10th, you're out of steam. All right, March 10th, fine. And that whisper, it plays over and over and over and over again in your mind. You're not forgivable. You're not okay. You're the only one with problems. You'll never be free of this. Well, where does that whisper come from? In part, it's culture. In part, it's culture. I mean, the craziest thing that I ever saw was when Tiger Woods came on television, gave his public apology. And then for the next 45 minutes, they dissected it like it was some academic exercise. Who wants to go on television and apologize to the world for something that you've done? I mean, really? That wasn't a good enough apology. Well, what did you think when he said this word? Why didn't he pick that one? Shut up! That's church. You can't say that. I mean, so culture does it. Culture has all these rules that, well, if it's this level of sin, okay, but once you do this... Get the sweater knit, put the scarlet letter on it, you're done. Culture does part of that. But where is the source? Where does it come from? And I bet the origin of it is a source you rarely ever think about or give much credence to, and it's the author of evil himself. The father of lies and the ultimate thief. I mean, the devil. Are you like, oh boy, here's the part where evil goes off the hill and like, right, everything's the devil made me do it. And I mean, this is where we get off with this crazy stuff. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's never the devil made me do it. That's not how it works. I mean, the author of lies and the origin of evil is always about the powerful of a whisper of suggestion. To help us think or make us think, or in maybe the better word is invite us to think that we're something less than who God created us to be. That God's forgiveness is less than the scriptures say it is. That our sin is worse than somebody else's. That's the whisper. And here's what happens. That whisper becomes a seed. It gets planted in our hearts and our minds, and we start to dwell on it. Man, am I really that bad? Am I okay? Does God really forgive me? What does it mean that I can't believe this? I mean, what's wrong with me? Am I not a Christian? And so the seed, it just begins to sprout and grow, and what started as a whisper and then became a seed turns into a belief. And it becomes a belief we begin to say about ourselves, this is really the way that I am. I'm unforgivable. I'm unlovable. I'm undesirable. God doesn't want anything to do with me. I'm the only one who ever struggles with this kind of thing. I'm the only one who has problems. Boy, I must be really screwed up. No! You just believed a whisper. We believe so many things about ourselves that just aren't true. Because culture tells us, or I don't know, somebody told us something way back when, and out of their own insecurity and their own brokenness and their own sin, it began to manifest in our lives. You know, you can't be your own anesthesiologist, your own nurse, your own cardiothoracic surgeon, your own hospitalist. You can't fix all this stuff in your life. I mean, we need God to begin to walk us through the process. We need a shepherd whose voice we can hear and follow. And we need other people to walk with us in the midst of the process as well toward healing. To remind us again and again and again, those whispers aren't true. All they do is steal, kill, and destroy. The shepherd says, I've come that they may have life and life abundantly. Let me invite our worship team to come on back forward. You know, I want to encourage you, for whatever that thing was in your past, go and make amends. Go and seek forgiveness. Pray to God and confess it all out and get it all out and let it go. And, you know, maybe you meet with a counselor to do that. Maybe you meet with the spiritual director. Maybe you meet with a pastor or your accountability partner or whatever. Let it go. Get it out. But at a certain point, what I want you to recognize is that not what you did was okay, but God forgives so I can be okay. God forgives so I can be okay. And I want you to recognize that if you've believed, let's say, a million times that you're unforgivable in some way, you're going to probably have to remind yourself 5 million times that you are forgivable. If you've believed a lie about yourself for 20 years, you're going to have to continue to speak the truth into your life and let God speak the truth into your life for probably 40 years. Now, that's a New Year's resolution worth investing in. Forgiveness is never about how good you are. It's about how good God is. Jesus, we thank you that your longing is to restore us and to heal us and for us to receive the forgiveness that you freely give because you are the shepherd, because you speak truth, because you are abundant life, and it's that life that you offer to us. It's not something that we do to earn it. It's not some moment where suddenly we become good. We just simply ask for it and receive it. And so, God, for all of us who struggle with something of our past, with something that we did, something that we failed to do, a hurt that we caused another human being, Jesus, we confess it to you this morning in silence. Lord, we realize that what we did was not okay. But what we ask is that you would help us to be okay. We seek you for forgiveness and healing. We thank you that you died on a cross to set us free, and you rose again to give us new life. And Lord, we believe you over thieves that would steal and kill and destroy. And so, Jesus, in some small way this morning, from a God who is bigger than all of our problems and all of our past failures, would you come and touch each one of us and speak life and speak forgiveness, and speak hope and healing, that you love us, that you forgive us, that you are the God who heals us, that you are the one who removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, even more, would you help us be reminded of that truth every day for the rest of our lives. We make this prayer in and through the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Please have a seat. There are thieves who steal and kill and destroy. There is a shepherd who gives abundant life. The way to forgiveness, to tie it back to the beginning, is we seek the shepherd. The more we know his voice, the more we begin to listen to his voice over the voices of all kinds of other things, the more that truth becomes embedded and enmeshed in our lives. I love what Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Brothers and sisters, somebody penned a powerful song when they said, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. And that's what we need to continue to do. We need to keep asking and seeking and knocking and not giving up and know the voice of the shepherd, because the more we hear his voice, the more we believe his truth, the less these lies begin to consume us from the inside out. I think the greatest disservice that the church has done perhaps for the last 50 years is we focus so much on conversion. And we've told you that if you just believe this, everything is going to be okay. And then so you pray the prayer and you say, Jesus is mine, and that's the end of it. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. And as you begin to follow the shepherd and follow the voice of the shepherd, as you begin to believe what the shepherd says is true, it becomes true in your life. Yes. Who are you listening to? And I want you to realize, brothers and sisters, that this is not a moment. You know, you're going to leave this place today, and you're going to go out in the cold pits of hell. I love Louisville, but today feels like the cold pits of hell. And the first thing that's going to happen this afternoon is this. Hey, you know that thing you think you're forgiven of? You're really not. That's where the battle's going to begin. And you're going to have to choose which voice you're going to listen to. And every time those feelings that you have or those thoughts of being unworthy come, you've got to remind yourself over and over and over again what Scripture says, that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. That the old is past and the new has come. Over and over and over and over again. And you know what happens to that voice? It gets softer and softer, and softer, and softer, and softer, and softer. Look at the cross with me for a minute. Jesus, in his worst moment, says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When he said, Father, forgive them, do you think he just said, but only those people? Did he say, only for the people who have it together? Only for the people who are good people? Only for the people who don't have any issues? No. When he said, forgive them, he meant everyone. I wish that I could tell you that sitting in that coffee shop that day fixed everything for me. And I don't ever struggle with that anymore. And you know what I would be? That would be a liar. Because it's still a struggle for me. And it's not all perfect. And I hear the whispers. And I struggle with the thoughts. And I have the feelings just like every other person in here does. But you're supposed to have it all figured out. Good luck. I struggle with that just like you. But what I'm beginning to learn, and I'm thick-headed sometimes, and it takes me a while to get there, is the more I recognize the voice of the thief and the voice of the shepherd, it becomes easy to spot the thief and tell him he's a liar. And the more I begin to have those feelings and thoughts, I can dismiss them as not being true. And the more I remind myself of passages like this, the greater the freedom comes. And friends, that's what I want for you. I mean, I want you to have the freest, most abundant, most joy-filled kind of life. And God longs for each one of us to have that. If you are struggling, you are not alone. Please let us come alongside you and walk with you and connect you to the right resources. The greatest lie is believing I'm the only one who has problems. Everybody does. And the only way you overcome those problems is by trusting the voice of the shepherd and walking with people who are trained by the shepherd to help you heal. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have come to give us life and life abundantly, and there would be those things in our lives that would come against us, whether it's the voice of culture, the voice of people in our past, or the voice of the evil one himself. And Jesus, just help us trust and hear your voice. Help us walk alongside brothers and sisters to encourage us. Help us receive the forgiveness that you offer every day of our lives and live into it. Amen.